Hebrews chapter 12. Are you ready to study God's Word this morning? Let's pray. God, as we open your book again to this book, in your book, this chapter, these verses familiar to us. We've read it, we've listened to it, we've begun studying, and we ask for wisdom as we continue to understand it deeper and fuller and how it applies to our lives. And that by the time we are through with this passage in our study, that we will just look at our hardships so differently and thank you for them. In the name of Christ and for His glory, we pray. Amen. Thanksgiving is just a week and a half away. And I'm sure you've got your Christmas lights up, ready to go. I have some, I don't have any Christmas decorations. They're gone. Hallelujah. My name, if you lived on our street, you understand, or if you drive down our street, you understand. And my next door neighbor said, "You sold your Christmas decorations in that yard sale." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, if you're not decorating, I'm not decorating." So it's contagious. So don't go down our street unless you go to Ted's house. It's going to be decorated. Thanksgiving. Wow. And when we think of Thanksgiving, we think of God's blessings, how good He is to us. And I asked you last week as we began this passage, you know, what are we thankful for? And we list all the great things we have. All of our blessings. So what comes to your mind when you think of blessings? You think of your salvation, God's mercy, God's grace, your house, your family, your church, your clothes, and on and on and on. But have you ever stopped to thank God for your hardships? That is one of His greatest blessings. And I hope that we are learning that. We thank God for His discipline. And the key word in verse 4 through 11 of Hebrews chapter 12 is discipline. And discipline means, comes from the same root word as child, which means the training and the correcting and the exhortation and the education of whatever a parent does for a child. When you raised children, did you discipline them? Why? Because you were just mean and nasty and you hated those kids. Because you loved them. And the key word there is discipline in these verses. And it's the main idea because it's mentioned 9 times in 8 verses. God disciplines His children. Can I hear a thank you, God? If I were to say God is now giving everyone who's here today an extra $1,000 on the way out, we have extra money, so we're giving everyone $1,000, what would you say? If I said God is going to bring discipline in your life, what would you say? With the same intensity? Thank you, God. I have to. The preacher's looking at me. See, discipline is negative and it's also positive. And it proves that God loves us and God wants the best for us. It's for our own good. So last week we looked at the purpose of discipline. And we must remember there's a big difference in a Christian child and a person who's not a Christian and discipline. You know, we hear all the time, everybody's God's children. We're all God's children. True, in the sense that God created us. But you are not everybody is in God's family. And you only get in the family by putting your faith in Christ. And there's a big difference in the kind of discipline we get. You know, we deserve God's wrath and God's punishment, His discipline. But remember this. Told you this last week. Don't forget this. As believers in the family of God, as God's child, we do not have to face the punishment. Ultimately, we experience discipline and sometimes that's punishment. But we will not have to face the consequence of our sin ultimately. Now, isn't that good news? 3 people think it is. Isn't that great news? Christ has already paid the penalty for your sin. God does not require double indemnity, and so they're paid for. That doesn't mean you can live like you want. That doesn't mean that you can you won't experience discipline in this life. And discipline hurts, doesn't it? How many of you were ever disciplined by your parents? Only a few of you were disciplined by your parents. That explains a lot. How many of you ever said to your mom or dad, "Thank you, Mom. I just appreciate that spanking so much. I know it comes from the heart, Dad." Of course not. It hurts. But it will not hurt like the final judgment for those who are not God's children. And so we saw last week, got three purposes in discipline. One is for punishment, to correct us. In Psalm 89, I just really love this verse, as I do all Scripture. But I found this verse recently, and it just really should encourage us. "If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my decrees, if they violate my decrees and fail to punish to keep my commands, I will punish their sins with the rod." I will do that, God says. "And their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness." God punishes his children to correct us. Don't do that anymore. Look at what happens. God also punishes us to preventative punishment. He builds fences around us. Don't do this. Don't do this. This is limits on your life. Don't do this. It will lead to something much worse. We tend to balk and scream and complain about the limits on our lives, but maybe God is saving you from something much worse. You know, and I told you this little secret last week. If we were to accept the preventative discipline of God, our Father, more graciously, more thankfully, there would be much less reason for the punishment kind of discipline. And the third is education, to teach us, to trust him, to see him more clearly. Remember Job, he didn't understand what was going on. He had no reasons, no explanations. God, he didn't even give them to him. But he finally came to this conclusion, "Who am I? God, I can't think like you, but I've seen you more clearly. I know you are a loving God, to see God better." Where do you usually focus when you're having hardships? On yourself and your problems. Why don't you let God teach you how to focus on him? You know, I hear a lot of complaints about life in general. From some of you. From myself. "How are you doing today?" And there's some people you just don't even want to ask them anymore. "How are you doing today, Larry?" "I know. Drag me down." But no, I hear that all the time. Nobody ever comes and says, "You know, I'm having some problems, but man, God is so good in what I'm learning through this." Education. Education. Thank God. Because verse 7 says, "Endure hardship as what? Discipline." God is treating you as a child of his. Let's move on. Look back at verse 5. "Have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as son?" Let's look at the perils. That means the dangers of discipline. We often forget God's word, don't we? And forgetting in anything can cause us unnecessary problems and heartaches. Have you ever done something stupid, but you knew better? Have you ever gone, "I should have known that would happen. I knew better than that." Our problem with God's word. You know, people say, "We need to come to church and learn something new every week." Really? Well, there's plenty to learn, and you'll learn something new every time you open and study God's word. But most of our problem is not that we need new information. Our problem is paying attention to what we already know. How many times in Scripture does God say, "Remember"? How many times do preachers say, "And don't forget, I know you've heard this before"? Our problem is forgetting. And when we forget, look at verse 5, have you forgotten the word of encouragement? When we forget, in our hardships, it will cause you greater pain. Now, that is a quote. Verse 5 and 6 is a quote, if you have a footnote there, from Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, which says the exact same thing. So what does that tell you? When was Proverbs written compared to the book of Hebrews? A long time ago, right? When was Hebrews written compared to us? A long time ago, even longer, a couple of thousand years. So what does that tell you? It tells you this, that suffering and discipline for God's sake, because of our faith, is nothing new. Don't feel like you're selected and you're the only one. Suffering for God and His discipline is nothing new. God's people have always been disciplined if you belong to God. So listen, don't get so upset about it. Have you forgotten? The word of, and notice he says, you see, he calls it the word of what? What does he call it there in verse 5? He doesn't say the word of wrath. He doesn't say the word of make you feel bad, the word of knock you out. He says the word of coming alongside, called alongside to encourage you, to make you stronger. And forgetting it, those words of encouragement, two perils. One is, he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. One danger of being disciplined by God is taking it lightly. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't take our problems lightly or heavily. He's not talking about your problems. He's talking about taking what lightly? The Lord's discipline. Don't take it lightly. If you do, you can't profit from it. You can't learn what God wants you to learn from it. And usually, we take our problems way too seriously. And we take God's discipline way too lightly. And we miss what God wants us to do. So how could you take God's word lightly? One would be, you become callous. You're callous to God, to His word. Instead of it softening you and bringing you closer to God, it hardens you. Callous. How about complaining? You know, when we complain, now, is there anyone here that's complained against God ever in their life? Are they all on this side, or in the middle? They're all over there, and you're complaining about them, or? When we complain, and you remember the children of Israel, that's what they did all their lives. When we complain, we are not forgetting God. Think of it. We are focused on God, but in the wrong way. Instead of running the race in verse 1 through 3 with patient endurance, we gripe and we grumble. And really, we are focused on God to the point we are accusing God of not doing it right. Now, let me ask you, when does God not do things right? So if I'm griping against God, you're not doing this right, God. You're not doing it fast enough, God. You're not doing what I want. Guess who's got the problem? I do. We become callous. We take it lightly. We complain. We take it lightly. How about questioning God? It's like complaining. It shows that our faith is really shallow. When a child asks the parents, and we've all heard this, why? You tell them to do something, why? You tell them not to do something, what's why? We ever do that with God, why? And when a child asks why, usually, I'm not an expert in child rearing, but I think I've got this one nailed. They're usually not really looking for a reason. They are challenging the parent's authority. They are wanting the parent to justify what they're doing and why. Now, let me ask you, when is God not justified in doing what he's doing? So if I question God, who's got the problem? God says, well, I really haven't thought this through. Thanks. The problem's with me. And even when we recognize discipline as from God the Father, we may question, is this the right kind? Is this the right kind of punishment and discipline, God? Is this the right severity? I mean, this is a little too rough. We usually lean that way. We don't say, God, it should be rougher. Is this the right length of the discipline, God? Should it last this long? Is it at the right time? If you spank a child, the child may think, Mom, Dad, going to bed with no supper would have been more appropriate than spanking. If you ground a child, the child may think, you know, you should have taken my allowance away. That would have been better. Now, parents' discipline is never perfect. We make mistakes. But usually, for the most part, what the parent does is better than what the kid thinks ought to be done. Correct? Did you have a discussion with your kids when they misbehaved? Now, listen, Susie, honey, would you rather have no supper or would you rather have a spanking tonight? Any of you parents like that? I don't think so. Why did you give this punishment instead of this punishment? Because in your wisdom as a parent, you knew better than the child what would get their attention. God's discipline is always the right discipline in his wisdom. It is the perfect wisdom. It is exactly what the child needs. So therefore, endure hardship as discipline. Thank God for your discipline. How about that's when you say, amen, I'm going to start that. Thank God for his love enough to discipline you. And it's perfect. The greatest danger is carelessness. We don't care. We don't care what God is trying to do, what God is trying to say to us. And what should be a blessing in our life, God's discipline, often we misuse, just like a lot of blessings. Money's a blessing. Do we misuse it? Food's a blessing. Do we misuse it? Problems in your life, discipline is a blessing. Do we care? And the second peril, he says, my son, do not make light or do not lose heart when he rebukes you. If you have a Greek New Testament, it will tell you that the word right there is the word faint instead of lose heart. F-A-I-N-T. You know, some people, because of God's discipline, because of their hardship in life that God can use for his glory. Now, I understand this, please. That doesn't mean that everything bad that happens to you is God's punishment. Sometimes we deserve bad things to happen to us. Sometimes Satan puts things in our lives to tempt us. But God disciplines his children, and some children, what's it say? Lose heart when the Lord disciplines them. They're so overcome by their problems, they give up. They're depressed. They become faint. They're unresponsive to what God is doing. They're not callous. They're not complaining. They're not questioning. They're not careless. They're just immobilized. They give up. They collapse. In Psalm 42, the writer of this psalm felt downcast. In Psalm 42:11, it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope where? In God. And I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He knew the cure for hopelessness. Put your hope in God. God gives His discipline to strengthen us. Not to weaken us, not to discourage us, to build us up, not to tear us down. And don't let Satan win. Who wins when you give up? Be blessed in your hardship. Thank God. Thank God. Not just in spite of what God is trying to teach you, but because of it. What a difference. Now, let's look at verse 6 and 8, the proofs of discipline. What does it prove? In verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. Verse 8, if you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are what? Illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? If we are responsive to God's discipline in our hardship, God's correction, it proves two things. God's love for us and our sonship. Let's break that down. His love for us. Our faith shows us to trust God, tells us to trust God, and God loves us, so we trust Him. Correct? Here's the logic of faith. Repeat this after me. We are God's children. God loves His children. God will do whatever He does because of who He is. So whatever I get from God, whatever I get from God, is from His love. Let that sink in. What does God want for you? God wants you to be righteous and obedient and mature and competent and responsible and trusting. Ephesians 3:14 says, be rooted and grounded in His love. What does that mean? It means a settled assurance that God loves His children. God will always love His children. Whether you feel like it right now or not, does God love you? Yes. What makes you God's child? Your trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. So instead of looking at our troubles, where should we look? At a loving Father. Look at His love. And thank Him. Because our troubles, endure hardship as discipline, our troubles are proof that God loves you. How do we usually think of it? God must not love me anymore. Look at all the problems I've got. We've got it backwards. It is proof God loves you. He's treating you as His son. A settled assurance and thank Him proves His love. God's love chose us, Ephesians 1. Predestined us. God's love redeemed us. God's love saved us. You know John 3:16. And God's love also disciplines us. We've often heard from our parents or said to our kids, you know, this hurts me more than it hurts you. That is hard for a child to understand. How many of you heard that growing up? How many now understand? A loving parent doesn't want to hurt a child, their child. They may want to hurt someone else's child. A loving parent gets no joy, no satisfaction out of discipline. But the joy and the satisfaction is the benefit for the child. And God is much more loving than any human parent. We as parents have flaws. God has none. And to discipline, the need for discipline grieves God. He doesn't enjoy it. He takes no pleasure. And think how much He loves you. How perfect His love is for you. How sensitive God is to your needs. It hurts Him to have to discipline you. And He will do it because He loves you. He will promise, He has promised not to give you discipline beyond what you can bear or what you need. But we can be sure when He disciplines us, He gets no pleasure. It hurts, but He loves you. That's a loving parent. It proves His love, and it proves also His sonship. He punishes everyone, verse 6, He accepts as what? As a son, as a child. Everyone is the subject of God's discipline. Everyone. You say, well, if I'm a son of God and I'm going to receive God's discipline, would it be better to not be a child of God? Everyone gets God's punishment. But only His children receive His discipline. See the difference? There are times you've probably really wanted to discipline someone else's child. Haven't you? You've been in line at the grocery store. You look at that child, unruly child, and you say, if I could just take that kid home for a week. You don't really want to take that kid home. You don't love that child like you love your own. And our children are our responsibility. We are, as parents, obligated to discipline them. And we are God's children. God is obligated to discipline us. So how do you know you're a child of God? I put my faith in Christ. I'm being obedient. I've trusted Christ. I know because God leads us. I know because God has given us His Word. I know because I trust His Word. I know because His Holy Spirit is in us. I know John 1:12. To those who believed in Him, He gave the right to become children of God. But I've never really thought of it, have you? One of the ways I know God loves me is He disciplines me. That's right out of the Bible. Verse 6, verse 7. Punishes everyone except His son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined? An undisciplined child is an unloved child, is a miserable child. And God's love will not allow Him not to discipline us. The tragic other side of the coin is if you're not disciplined by God, you're not His child. Verse 6, God punishes. That's a strong word there, punishes. You know, that's not the word discipline that's used 8 other times in those 9 verses. This word here, punishes, means to scourge. What's scourge mean? Beat. Flog with a whip. Woo! He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. What does that tell me? It tells me that God's punishment may be severe. It may be painful at times. Especially when my disobedience is great. My apathy is strong. So is His punishment. At times, as parents, we get discouraged with discipline, don't we? I don't think this is working. And I've been around here 24 years. I've seen some of you discipline your child, and sometimes you're just like, is this working? You ever felt that way as a parent? Is this kid going to make it to 20? I'm going to kill him. We get discouraged. Sometimes we don't see the effects as quickly as we'd like. And there's times, to be honest, as a parent, that we don't even want to go through the trouble. I was much tougher on my first kids than my last. My oldest daughter, she's 41, 42, and she, whenever she's around the whole family, she'll say, "How come Micah gets away with that?" And my answer's always been, well, when you get my age, you just know how to pick your fights. Meaning I'm lazy. And my wife will say, well, pick one or two. But we get discouraged in discipline. Sometimes we don't want to go to the trouble. But because we love our children, we will keep training them as long as they are under our care. Listen to some of these verses from Proverbs. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Turn over to Proverbs 23. Verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. And one more, Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Our juvenile courts testify to the truth of those scriptures. God loves us, so He will discipline us. And discipline in the Christian life is not in spite of sonship. It is because of sonship. It is proof that God loves you and that you are a child of God. If you were not a child of God, would you really like to live with a parent who did not discipline you? I mean, you're a mess now. Think what you'd have been if there'd been no discipline. And I know growing up, we often thought, those parents don't care. They don't have a curfew for their kids. They let them do anything they want. My parents are the meanest people on the planet. That's because your parents loved you. And they got it right. They don't care. They didn't care. God is a loving Father, and He disciplines us because of sonship. He is a committed, loving Father, committed to helping His children to the highest standards. And at times, that takes even inflicting pain to make it happen. A guy was looking over a wall. Somebody walked by and said, why are you looking over a wall? And he said, because I can't see through it. When you can't see through your pain and your hardships and your struggles and your disappointment, when you can't figure it out, when you can't see through it, look over the wall into the face of a loving Father, who is God, the creator of the universe. When you look at unbelievers, and they seem to be doing so well. I mean, they don't have the hardships we have. And then you look at Christians and you say, wow, look at all the trouble we've got. Have you forgotten the word of encouragement? God is treating you as His children. You know what we should do? We should take that as evidence that we belong to God. And they don't. If verse 8, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons if you're not receiving discipline. You know what? We should pity, not envy, the prosperous and the healthy and the wealthy and the popular and the attractive person who doesn't know God. Nothing wrong. I mean, I'm looking out at a whole crowd of people who are prosperous and healthy and good looking. I know. Nothing wrong with being that. But you know God. We, instead of lifting up the pagan and saying, oh, they've got it made, pity them if they don't know God. Now, we shouldn't wish our trials, our hardships on them, but we want them to come to a loving Heavenly Father. Jerome, remember Jerome? Probably don't remember Jerome. He was a theologian, a preacher. He's most well known for translating the Bible into Latin. So that tells you how long ago. And we don't speak Latin, but in that day everybody spoke Latin and the Bible wasn't in their language. He's known for translating the Bible in the vernacular of the people of his day. He said this, "The greatest anger of all is when God is no longer angry with us." Let me read that again. "The greatest anger of all is when God is no longer angry with us." What does that mean? We don't want God to be angry. We're not going to have to face in Christ his wrath, his anger. But do we want God to care about us and be upset with our behavior and our life and our thoughts? Do we want God's discipline? The worst thing to be would be unteachable, unreachable by God. And when God disciplines us, here's what we should say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Father in heaven. You have just proved again that you love me and that I am your child. We go on and find in these verses what discipline produces, what God wants in your life. He wants you to live. He wants righteousness. He wants holiness. Would you pray that, God? Make me what you want me to be, whatever it takes.